welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily, American style. Tonight it's me, Dan.
This is Dwight.
And as always, I'm Ryan.
As always. So tonight we're actually going to talk about a board game that's kind of near and dear to our hearts because somebody near and dear to us actually made it.
And it's actually a card game, not a board game.
Ooh.
Yeah, special stuff, right?
Nerd. Right,
I think we've done two card games, a dice game, and a card game. So one of these times we'll actually do a board game.
Very true, very true.
But yeah, like, break it down for us. What is this game, and why should people care?
Well, the game started out, a couple friends of ours, Marcus Ross and his cousin, Kara Heacock, created the game, created a company out of a Google startup weekend here in Omaha, Nebraska. They decided to make a board game or a card game company. Their first couple games were kind of fun, but nothing, I guess, extravagant, so to speak. They're on their website, waterbeargames.com. This game, however, really started picking up steam shortly after they made it. They created a couple prototypes of it, just on some playing cards by putting certain rules or things on them. And then eventually Kara made all the art for it. Marcus did a lot of the gameplay and playtesting of it, so to speak. And eventually it kind of came around to be this really cool game that he would show off around town. We have a lot of friends that get together and play board games all the time, and it became kind of a party hit, so to speak. And then last year, the people who made Cards Against Humanity, which is a fairly famous game here, at least in the States, decided to create a contest called Tabletop Deathmatch. It was hosted, basically the judging was going to be at Gen Con, 2013, and they had over 500 applicants. You had to be an unpublished game designer, and you had to basically present a packet with your game, your rules, that kind of thing. Out of those 500 applicants, they selected 16 finalists that actually presented their games at Gen Con to a panel of over 20 people, a wide variety. All of the videos of all of the presentations are on tabletopdeathmatch.com.
And on YouTube.
And on YouTube, on their channel, on Cards Against Humanity's channel. out of those 16 people, Marcus and Kara won alongside another game called Penny Press. Their game is called Discount Salmon. It was created out of the actually, the name came first before the game was even designed. They at the startup weekend had these T-shirts that were this horrible color of kind of an orangey, pinkish, reddish, weird
Salmon color,
and Marcus's comment was that these, when you buy these shirts off of the website, the color must be called Discount Salmon. And so out of that came kind of this idea of the gameplay, where you have a bunch of fish that are in the world's most polluted lake, and I think Dwight will kind of...
Lake Miasma,
which actually we found out has meaning. It's an actual word that describes something that's horribly polluted and
And sickly.
And so all of the fish have a problem, but you're a fishmonger and you're trying to collect fish that you can sell at your market. I'll kind of let, Dwight talk about the actual gameplay here a little bit.
Yeah. So, the game is a set of cards. All of the lake cards are fish, and they're in Lake Miasma, and, you turn it over and you discover that there's something wrong with your fish. Because it's Lake Miasma, there's something wrong with every fish.
The cards are actually, you shuffle them up and then you kind of spread them around in a big circle pile. So you can randomly choose out of that which card you want to turn over as that fish.
Yep, they're all face down on the table. It's just a pool of all of the face down fish. There's a nice drawing of a sickly lake on the back of the card. So you sort of make your own lake there. And then there's five potential problems that any of the fish might have, either one or two of the problems. The problems are that the fish might be stinky, it might be ugly, it might be dry, nobody likes dry fish, it might not be a fish at all, and that's a problem when you're trying to sell fish, and it might be poisonous, which is less a problem for you, the seller, and more for the person who buys it. But... yeah, and it's got a nice mechanic. The person who starts the game is the person who least likes fish. So even though I don't really like fish myself, that actually gives me an advantage. I get to go first.
Again, this is one of those games that has a lot of humor in it. There's a lot of subtle humor. There's a lot of blatant humor.
Yeah.
Throughout not only the game itself, but the rules. And we'll kind of touch on that here a little bit as we talk about how the game's actually played as well.
Yeah, it's very clean, very simple game. Just beautiful design. So like I said, there's potentially five different problems for the fish. Now, the gameplay is that you have a second set of cards that are the cures. And you shuffle that deck, and everybody draws five to start with. These cards are how the gameplay progresses. They are either positive or negative modifiers in your hand that allow you to either fix the problem with the fish or ruin your other players' days by making the problem worse or adding a new problem. So you fix Stinky with perfume, or you make it stinky with a rotten egg.
So yeah, I mean, perfume on fish makes it completely edible and sellable at market.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and it's a very nice drawing of a very fancy lady's perfume. An ugly fish is fixed with makeup, or you can make a not ugly fish ugly with a mustache.
So that's my problem.
Yeah. Now, as a man with facial hair, I'm sometimes offended
really
by that.
Really shave that off.
My reasoning is that just fish don't look good with mustaches.
Yeah,
okay. I still look good. All right. If a fish is dry, you fix it with lotion. Or if it's not dry, you make it dry by adding the blistering hot sun.
So, Dwight, how do you fix something that's not a fish, like a tire, for example?
Right. So there's cards that are just playing a tire. I would add a fish costume.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would totally buy a tire.
Yeah. Well, as long as the costume is good enough.
Yeah.
All fish taste like tires anyways.
Or you can make it not a fish by throwing out a fish decoy. If it's poisonous, to survive the experience, you want an antidote. Or to make it worse, you throw some nuclear waste on there.
So antidote is what I need to eat before I actually try fish again.
Exactly.
And maybe put some makeup and perfume on it as well.
Yeah. So as you're playing, you flip a card over. You have your five cards in hand. Those are going to be randomly drawn. So you might have a couple perfumes. You might have a blistering hot sun. And you might have a lotion. So a stinky fish turns up. A fun way to play is to throw down right away the blistering hot sun, because everybody saw Stinky, and now all of a sudden there's a second problem, and they're still thinking about the first problem. Someone else might throw down perfume, and you throw down your lotion. Now, the first person to completely solve the fish wins the fish, and you score the game. Whoever has the most fish at the end of the game wins. So it's a fast-playing, trick-taking game. You want to win the fish cards as they're turned over.
So everybody's playing simultaneously. Once that fish is turned over, everybody's trying to fix it at the same time.
Absolutely.
Or
everybody
make it worse for that.
Exactly. Everybody throws down their hopeful solutions, potential problems, and sometimes they just get confused and throw down things that don't apply at all. in the basic rules, if you play a card that doesn't work, you pick it back up, it goes back into your hand. If you play a game that solves one problem, but not another problem, then you wait until everything's solved. The first person to play the first card that solves all of the current problems gets the card. Any new problems that were added on top of that afterwards are just, again, withdrawn back to the original player. You can draw back up to five as you're playing. So if you throw down two solutions and it still has some problems on it, because other people are just being mean, go ahead and keep drawing new cards from the draw pile, and you might find that final solution. And then there's a couple of special cards that you'll see from time to time that help advance the gameplay or just ruin other people's days. There is a card that solves all problems, no matter what that problem is, and makes a fish sellable. What is that card, Ryan?
That's the blender. Yeah. You throw a fish into a blender, it'll work out, apparently.
Will it blend?
Yeah, apparently.
It will blend.
It will blend. The fish will blend.
Fish blend. This is how you make fish sticks, I think. You just blend it and then...
bread it.
Yeah, yeah.
Put it in
bread. There's a card later on that will actually be part of that final solution as well.
Yeah. And then there's another fun one. So that means that you throw down the blender, and it doesn't matter what else has happened. You get all of the cards. They're yours. You win.
That fish. You win that
fish. You win that fish. So maybe you don't have any of the solutions, and everyone else is fighting, and you're tired of getting left out. Well, what you do is you throw down another special card called Andrew the Hungry Cat. And the hungry cat named Andrew grabs the fish, runs away.
Nobody gets it.
Nobody gets the fish. All of the cards that were played are discarded along with that fish. And everyone who invested their hard-earned, fast-playing Twitch reflexes just basically did it for nothing because that card's gone.
And there are certain times, especially when you're playing with only two or three players, it's usually in a two or three player game. I believe actually it's a three player game that nobody has a card that can fix the fish, or maybe nobody realizes they have the card that can fix the fish. In that case, there is always one person on the table that has the deep fryer. So you can throw any fish in the deep fryer and all of its problems are resolved. And the deep fryer is then passed along to the next person in line. So that kind of helps resolve if for some reason nobody has the ability to fix it, or they don't realize that they can fix it. After about 5 seconds, the deep fryer can be played, and that person takes the fish as well.
Yeah. The negative modifiers, the stuff that makes it worse, are slightly red in the background. So if there's a tie at the end of the game, which there can be if you're playing with five players, it is 2 to 5 players. Whoever has the most red cards wins. That's the tiebreaker. You collect all of the cards, not just the fish. So all of the modifiers that were played, you collect those along with the fish when you win and just put them in a pile in front of you and sort through them at the end. And it might sound sort of pointless to mention that, but I literally just explained every single rule in the game.
Yeah.
We are now done with 100% of the rules. It's a very simple game, but playing it with a group of friends, I just played it this weekend. About 7 different players rotated in and out. We were all laughing. We were having fun. Different people won for different reasons. Very fun game. Very simple. One game takes less than 10 minutes. 2 games, you can fit in. 4 games in about half hour.
They really designed it to be a game that you play either in between games or while waiting for somebody to arrive at a game night type of thing.
At a bar.
Yeah. It's designed to be a very fast, very easy to set up, very easy to explain game.
Icebreaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people that don't know each other can play this together and start having fun and laughing very quickly. So, the game's available to purchase. www.discountsalmon.com. I believe they're only shipping to the United States right now, but I may be wrong about that. You can definitely talk to them. And then their company is called Water Bear Games, and they have a website, waterbeargames.com. You can go watch all the videos of their presentation and all the other really interesting game designs out there, and then in turn the critiques of those games from the judges. I learned a lot myself just about board games, things that I maybe had understood before but never had a name for. I never knew what a Euro game was until I saw Tabletop Deathmatch, and I never knew what speed-based trick-take games were, that kind of thing. So
it's really cool for everyone who is listening to this might enjoy playing games. It's really cool to see a sort of a peek behind the curtain, like, how are games designed? Who designs them? Why do they design them? And so this is a great example. This is a game that I know who designed it. Ryan and I both helped playtest it, and our names are in the little rule book, which was really cool, of Marcus and his cousin. It's just cool to see that games are designed by people, and I could potentially design a game, you could design a game, and it's just fun to see that in action.
In the spirit of Cards Against Humanity, they also provided, you can download a PDF copy of the game rules and all of the game cards and print your own copy of this game at home. Obviously, we'd like you to support our friends and go buy their printed copy. It looks beautiful. It's a lot of fun. We know the artist. We know the designer. But if you're not able to get to it, or if you just want to maybe test it a couple times before you buy a official copy, you can actually download the game on their website, waterbeargames.com.
And just backing up a minute, if, Dwight, you made a game, I'm pretty sure you'd still lose at it, and I would win.
Yeah, but I would have fun losing by doing something weird And then I would get excited that I accomplished it, and then I would be like, oh, okay, yeah, and then you won.
Then I win. Smash.
I was gonna say I was explaining how the rules work. I should mention the art is amazing, and that's what you look at when you turn the card over. It's a beautiful, simple drawing of a fish on each card. In the corner, there's little symbols that show what's wrong.
I don't know that I'd call them all beautiful. I mean, there is an ugly fish in there. But
Well, good point. The fish are ugly. The artwork is beautiful.
Okay.
There's symbols that you match with your cards, and it's in the corner. It's a very clean, simple design. It stands out well. It's universal. You don't have to be able to read English or be an English language speaker to be able to play it. So I just wanted to mention that real quick.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else we should know about Discount Salmon?
I think we've covered it all.
Yeah. Fun, simple game, easy entry points, and makes a great addition to your gaming collection.
I will add, I'm not a big fan of the speed-based games. I don't like making quick decisions. I was able to pick this up and actually really enjoy it after playing it a second time. Maybe actually, partway through my first game, I really started to enjoy playing it, and I didn't think I would, so I was really impressed.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. I haven't played it yet because I moved way over to the other coast, but I may have to try out that PDF copy here sometime with me and my wife.
Definitely should.
It's definitely a two-player game. We always are looking for more two-player games.
Excellent.
But all right. I think that's everything for us tonight. So I've been Dan.
This is Dwight.
I think I'm Ryan.
He probably isn't.
Okay.
But thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.
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 You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.